morning. Welcome. Bible study at 7:30 at Tom's Wednesday. And Friday Bible study at 7 o'clock. Sunday worship is at 11. And Sunday school is at 10 with adult Bible study. Are there any prayer requests?
Or
any other prayer requests? Any other announcements? Chase will read the psalm, and Tom the prayer, and Tom will also bring the service, and we'll have communion following the service.
This morning is Psalm 130. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
That hath us now, O
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you on the Sabbath day in need of your word, in need of your grace, in need of your mercy, in need of your peace. And we do all that at rest on the Sabbath. We rest in the truth of your word. We rest in the finished work of the cross. We rest and uplift your word through the communion of saints. We rest on the fact that all is accomplished and all is done. We are now waiting for the bridegroom to come again, to judge, and at the same time to bring the bride from the Father to the Son, the pure bride, holy, blameless, the saints, to him. What a precious day that will be. What an honor it will be to be the bride of the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Father, today we are given the task to look into your word, where there is much fruit, much wisdom, much knowledge, and much bounty. And we ask your help to not only discern it, but to hear what it's saying, understand the application, the ability to apply it, the knowledge it gives, the strength of encouragement, the responsibility of ambassadorship. Father, your word is above your name, as the psalmist says. Give us the ability to do that justice this day, this hour of grace. Father, we thank you for the saints in this congregation. We thank you for their gifts, their abilities. We thank you for what you've given them, what you've blessed them with. We thank you for giving them the ability to produce much fruit through that Holy Spirit. We thank you for the grace that you supplied them. We thank you for the faith that you've instilled in them. We thank you for the confidence that you have given them, that you are theirs and they are yours. It is a beautiful faith that you've granted. We thank you for the home that you're preparing. We thank you for the feet and the hands that were pierced. We thank you for the sin that was put in your son's flesh and lay there in Calvary's cross. We thank you for the grace that receives in the heart that is open, broken, lowly, and contrite. Father, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for the parents, grandparents, uncles and aunts, children that are among the saints. Father, we also look to the leaders of our nations. We ask that you would give them the ability to worship you through a broken, lowly, and contrite heart, so grace may enter, faith begin, so decisions can be made from the feet of the cross to the heavens above. Not by man's wisdom, but by God's wisdom. Not by carnal minds, but by eternal minds. Father, we asked you to help them. Convict them. Make them change. So that we can live in a world of peace. Not the peace that the world gives us, but the peace that you give us. So that we can rest in what is pure and what is holy. And that is Christ. And Father, we are so fortunate be able to worship you in a free country. Let us not ever forget that privilege. Let us not ever thank you muchly for that privilege, for there are many countries in the world that cannot do this freely. We ask you to be there today. Be there where people are. Be there where people cannot come to the reading of your word and listening of your word. For whatever means or whatever situation they're in, you know them. They are of intrinsic value to you. Give the saints the same grace towards any that are not of the sheepfold. Give us the ability to offer that love that you offered us and offer us. And Father, we thank you for this day, and give us the ability to do it justice, and give us the ability to show you are worthy of the sainthood that you've appointed us to be. In Jesus' name, let's continue. Thank you. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through that indwelling Holy Spirit, sanctify us through the reading of His Word on this hour of grace. If we can all take our Bibles and turn to the 46th chapter of Psalms. That's the 46th chapter of Psalms. And we'll read the entire chapter in Jesus' name. Forty-six. It's okay. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He make wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. If you're wondering, if you look at the book or the Psalms, Psalms were, when you first read the book of Psalms, you might think that David wrote them all, or Solomon wrote them all, or certain people, but God has given people the inspiration to write Psalms. And it is interesting that this psalm and 11 total psalms he gave to the sons of Korah. Just the name itself, the sons of Korah. And when you look in the Word, in the Bible, you notice the Bibles are not really, the whole book is about God himself and what God is doing with his clay vessels and what God is molding and making and creating out of these vessels of honor. And he starts with, I mean, obviously some of the names mean beginning, Genesis, there's Exodus, there's Levi, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, there's names in certain ones, but you don't have the book of Jesus here. You don't have the book of God. You don't have the book of the Holy Spirit. He's utilizing or delegating through that Holy Spirit the ability of man to help him with this word that is above his name itself. And you have here the sons of Korah. Not Korah himself, the sons of Korah. And there's a reason why. And we'll go into the story of Korah. Because he was disobedient. And we'll read into that. But it is interesting that God uses what society would use. Is we have this tendency of, like, my dad would say to me, "You're McCluskey. If somebody comes against you and wants to fight, you fight back." So anybody that was named the McCluskey, that would be the thought. Or you're either a Mattson, or you're a Worry, or you're a Staudinger, or you're a Hillman. Right? There's that thought, right? This is what we expect of you, right? This is what we expect of you. And God's using not the father, Korah, he's using the sons. Why? Who does God choose? Before the foundation of the world, who does he choose? The lame, the blind, the deaf, and the dumb. Put that on your resume. That's who he chooses. Why? Because if he chooses the excellence, does he get glory? No. He chooses the runt of the litter. The ones that nobody will choose. The person on the team that's chosen last. And what does he do? He makes him a son and daughter of Christ. He makes him, makes those people produce much fruit in his kingdom. And it brings him glory. And we'll see in this text that there's two types of glory. There's the glory unto honor, and there's the glory unto dishonor. But it's not really dishonor. When God exercises his wrath, it's a glorious thing. And the reason why it's glorious is because we deserved that wrath. And we did not get that wrath. We got grace and mercy instead. And why was that? Because God allowed our hearts to be lowly, broken, and contrite so grace can enter and faith can begin and our life in the kingdom is started. So let's look at this text. The sons of Korah. Remember this verse, 26:11 of Numbers. And the reason why I emphasize that one is because it's one verse, and if anybody is confused You won't be. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. They should have, but they died not. Right? The carnal mind would say, why didn't he take the sons of Korah? Well, he had a plan for them. And the plan was to create these brothers into sons of God, daughters of Christ, if he had daughters. I'm not so sure if he did. If we look into the 16th chapter of Numbers, we kind of get a story of Korah. Now, Korah was the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. This is the 16th chapter of Numbers. And there rose up before Moses certain of the children of Israel, and the head of the children of these people was Korah. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation of men of renown. There was a gathering of the troops that didn't agree with what Moses was doing and God was doing through that, and Aaron. And what was the problem? The problem was Moses was, it wasn't a problem, he was just following what God had said. We're going to have the Levites take care of the priesthood. Aaron will take care of it, the Levites will do. They will do all the things in the sanctuary. They will take care of that. And Korah did not like that. He wanted part of that himself. He wanted some of his family members to be part of that. And they were taking on too much. And he wanted to be part of that through his family, through his bloodline. So what was Korah doing? He was going against the wishes of God, the directions of God, the commandments of God, because he was going against God's appointed, which was Moses and Aaron and the Levitical priesthood. So when we read this, when you look at this text, it says in the fifth verse, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, of all his company, and put fire therein, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee to seek the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron, that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan, Abiram, Eliab, which said, we will not come up. So you see what's happening here. It's basically, and Moses sent, saying, for which cause both you and all the company that gathered together against the Lord and what Aaron is doing, you murmur against him. It is a small thing that thou has brought us up out of the land of the floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether princes over us. Korah didn't like the fact that Moses was a prince over him, a leader over him. He wanted to be more part of that. Moreover, thou hast not brought us unto the land that floweth with milk and honey and given the inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. In the 19th verse, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto the congregation. God showed up. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of the flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up, went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel and that followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Separate yourselves from this group. 31:32. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder and was under them. And the earth opened up her mouth, swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their gods, but not their sons. Because God had a mighty plan for their sons. And how do we know this? Because he wrote 11 Psalms. Listen to the words. We could just go through some of them. I'll just read a few of the verses so we can understand where their heart is, the sons of Korah. Remember, the sons of Korah's responsibility is to open up the doors of the tabernacle in the morning and in the evening. That's what they did. They opened the doors and closed the doors. That was their responsibility. And what did they hear in there? The word of God. From the Levitical priesthood, from all the people that were there. What were they influenced by? The saints. Listen to the words of that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. We'll just go through a few because they're beautiful. Oh, clap your hands, and this is the 47th. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people about unto God, with the voice of a triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Interesting how their dad was subdued and swallowed up. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom loveth Selah. God the Father was the father of the sons of Korah. How great is the Lord, and this is the 48th, great is the Lord, and great to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. And 49, hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. In the 15th of the same 49th, but God shall redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. If you go to the 84th Psalm, I think it's 84, 85, it's probably 84, verses 4. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, in thy house. They will be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain so filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. 85th Psalm. Steve spoke of this last week. Beautiful, from 6 to 13. Wilt thou now revive us again, that the people may rejoice in thee? Shew us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. The glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Speaking of the future Christ, the cross. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall be before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. In the next chapter, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, for thou, Lord, art good. There's a verse. Steve mentioned that God is good. That's the 2024, his thing, that God is good. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. His foundation in 87 is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all that the dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken unto thee, O city of God, Selah. If you want to know what they went through and how harsh their life was, read 88. We're not going to do that today. But the 88th, I'll read one verse of it. Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. This whole chapter 88 is about the misery of the sons of Korah. But that's not the focus today. The focus is God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant, present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The first verse of 46. What does it say in 1 John? Chapter 4, 17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Why do we come boldly through the throne of grace? Because he loves us perfectly. So we don't fear. Because what he has done for us, what he has done for us, and what he will do for us. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The sons of Korah understood this. And that's what the second verse is saying. Our refuge is in Christ, our refuge is in the Word. But the second verse is, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah. Because Christ loves us perfectly, we will not fear. We will have boldness to go into the throne of grace. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. What were the sons of Korah thinking of? I think John had it down. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Verses 38 to 40. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Not a prophet, the prophet. There's a difference. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly flow rivers of living water. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of the river. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The heathen raged. This text is talking about heathen. And the verse that stands out is, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. And I will be exalted in the earth." So when we look at this text, God will be raised up. We talked about that in Sunday school. We look up to Christ on the cross. And we look inward where the Holy Spirit guides and directs. Because if were it not be for the cross, we would not have that Holy Spirit directing. If were it not be for the cross, we would not have our sins taken away. If were it not be for the cross, we would not have boldness or confidence that it is finished. So we have here, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, she shall help her that right early. The heathen raged. There are two types of heathen. There are heathen that receive the wrath of God unto dishonor, and there are heathen that receive the grace of God unto honor. We're all heathen. The difference is the heathen that are receiving the wrath of God unto dishonor don't recognize they're lame, they're blind, they're deaf, and they're dumb. The heathen that are unto honor recognize they're lame, they recognize they're blind, they're deaf, and they're dumb, and they're in need of a Savior. The ones unto dishonor will create a way that builds them up. The ones unto honor will create a way that builds him up. There's a huge difference. But God gets glory in both. The Christian has a hard time with that. That God would destroy a father. Swallow him up because he was disobedient. Why would he do that? He has three sons that will go on to glory. They will do many things. But God receives glory himself and power. He receives glory from both the wrath and from saving by grace. And how do we know that? The chapter that many people are very, you'd probably want to skip over because it's very controversial. Romans chapter 9, 18 to 25. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he'll hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay vessel, or of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and one and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? He is very patient and long suffering to the ones that are fitted for destruction. He is very, very much so. The heathen that build up themselves will not turn, will not change, will fight against God, will have an ideology that is against God, will promote sin, will propagate evil. He's long-suffering towards them. But the vessels of wrath fitted destruction, when he destroys them, he receives glory, the same glory he receives by grace. And it says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why is that? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jacob is the one that stole his birthright, right? Kind of, his mom kind of got in there and they kind of deceitfully stole it. But what did Jacob do that stood out? He wrestled with God. He wrestled with God all night. And it hurt him. It hurt his hip. He never walked the same afterwards. And what did he say? I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Right? Because the blessing I got wasn't the blessing of God. He wrestled with God and said, I will wrestle until I get that blessing. And the importance of that is this. He was able to, right after that, go see his brother, and he was not fearful. He thought his brother would come and destroy him with his 400 men. He was not fearful. And we wrestle with God. And we have that ability to wrestle with God. So the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is our refuge. We rest in the God of Jacob. We wrestle with him. We understand that he will give us what's needed. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? What desolations he has made in the earth. God wages war against Satan. There's a war. It started in Genesis. It's part of the curse. You remember Eve? He says to the serpent, the curse is this. Her seed, Eve's seed, will be enmity against your seed, Satan. You think you've won. Just because you caused the first two to sin, you think you've won. This is the curse that you have. I'm going to raise up soldiers, the bride of Christ, the saints, to fight against any and all ideologies against the Word of God. From this time forward till the end of time, until Christ comes again. You think you've won? You haven't even come close. All the seed of Abraham, all the spiritual seed of Abraham will fight against this. Spiritual seed, mean they will be indwelled with a hatred for the things that God hates and a love for the things that God loves. That will be inbred in them. And if it's not inbred in them, maybe they are the heathen that is speaking of here, that are unto dishonor. Because we are part of the soldiers. We have the armor of God. We fight against what God is saying. We fight against what the devil is saying. And we support what God is saying. Why is that? Because our brother in Christ, Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, wrote these things. 24th verse. For where I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Why? Because you believe in the Messiah to come. And for us, we believe and rest in the work of the cross. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh, a heart of flesh that is molded and made in the image of God. The potter is working in the heart, molding it and conforming it to the image of his Son. So we all have the same road. We all have the same fight. We are united in our mind. Our mind is renewed. Our heart is changed. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's why we fight against the devil, the flesh, and the world. We can't help but to do that. We've been changed. We're part of the curse against the devil. We're fighting as the soldiers of the cross. We're fighting because the souls of the people are important. We do not receive wrath. We receive mercy and grace. He says, come boldly, come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, know that I am God. How do we know? How do we be still? Because he's told us to rest. He didn't tell us to rest just on Sunday. He's told you to take that day and make it especially for him. The other 6 days, you still have to rest on the finished work of the cross. You're resting on that. You're not adding, you're not taking out away from the cross, you're resting. So as far as the spiritual side of it, you rest 7 days a week. It is finished. Is complete. You are going to be presented holy, blameless, pure to a bridegroom that is worthy of a saint. God will not fail that. You will be presented in a way that is beautiful to the bridegroom, and when you go to heaven, he's going to hug you, and he's going to kiss you, and he's going to say, welcome, because you are his bride. What a beautiful thing that will be. You can hear his voice. You can be still because you are at rest, because it is finished and he is God. I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth. If you're exalted among the heathen, the ones that will not receive the wrath of God because you have grace and mercy and you're unto honor, or you'll be exalted in the earth because you think you've got it made and you think that you can do it on your own and you think that you're not lame, blind, deaf, or dumb. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Just one more verse and then we'll close. Isaiah 30, I believe it is. 18 to 26. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he shall answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into the corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, God's going to direct our path. God's going to keep us. Why? Because he has to present a perfect bridegroom to the bride, which he will finish. In Jesus' name, let's continue with 95. Thank you.
The sacrament of Holy Communion is a time of and a sacrament of remembrance, where we remember. It isn't hard to remember our faults and our failings, and when God reveals those to us, it's a blessed thing. But especially the sacrament of Holy Communion is about remembering what Jesus said, remembering what Jesus did and who Jesus is. Shall we begin with the simple statement of faith that we find in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray with and for those who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This do in remembrance of me. This my body broken for you. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. And as we have been doing, those who wish to partake at the communion rail, you can come straight to the front and I will pass a tray along the back side from which you can take the cups, and all the others can come and get your cup and return to your pew. Take and eat the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take and drink the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. May the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve your bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Amen. Praise the Lord for the gracious gift of which you have partaken, and go forth and proclaim his suffering, his death, and his glorious resurrection until he comes again. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O Lord, Almighty God, thou who allowed us to partake of thy holy supper, we thank thee for thy grace and pray. Grant that we also with all thy chosen saints may share thy eternal honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and with the Holy Ghost in one Godhead from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we'll conclude with 499 and then the doxology.